just going to tuck that. That's not why you would come, but so today we are beginning a new three-week sermon series entitled God is Able. God is Able. Can you say that with me? God is Able. God is Able. And I've been praying, y'all. I've been asking God to expand our faith so that we would really believe that he is able to do what we never thought he could, so that through us he could accomplish what we never thought he would. So I want you to pray that with me, that God would take your faith and stretch it so that through that faith he would do things that you did not expect. That's what I've been praying for our church. And so open up the words of the living God to the book of Ephesians. You should have a Bible, a white Bible somewhere by you. I want to invite you to open up to the book of Ephesians, all right? If you need to go to the table of contents, ain't no shame in that. I remember I had to do that. And if it's an Old Testament prophet, sometimes I still need to do it tucked back in there. But Ephesians in the New Testament, chapter 3. Go to Ephesians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, right there in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. We'll read that in a minute, but I just want you to get there. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. In these two gloriously familiar verses, we have what's called a doxology. Okay, a doxology. Can you say doxology? Just want to teach you a little bit. Paul includes several doxologies in his letters to the churches, where he'll just be writing spirit-inspired instructions and prayers, like here in Ephesians 3, and then all of a sudden he'll break out into Holy Spirit praise. That's doxology. Doxology is taken from two Greek words. Okay, most of you know, many of you know, some of you know, the Old Testament written in Hebrew, the New Testament was written in Greek. The word doxology is taken from two Greek words, doxa, listen, which means appearance of glory, and logos, from which we get our English word logic. Logos, which means words, okay? So doxa, appearance of glory, logos, words, doxology. So Ephesians 3, verse 20 and 21 is Paul basically erupting into words of praise, overflowing from God's glory appearing to his heart as he thinks and writes about who God is and what Jesus has done for his people. He just breaks off into praise when he thinks about what he's writing about to his church and who God is and what Jesus has done for his church. He breaks what he's doing and he goes into doxology and praise. And brothers and sisters, can I encourage you, every now and then, you ought to break into doxology in your life. Unplanned pop-up praises when you think about what God has done. You ought to fill your week with doxologies, pop-up praises when the Spirit reminds you through a sermon or through another saint or even through eating a sandwich. When he reminds you just how good God is, you ought to give God a doxology, unplanned pop-up praises. Paul is just writing a letter, and he's thinking about what he's writing, and he goes into doxology. Doxology, like song I love, it's just, when I think about the Lord, when I think about the Lord, how he saved me, how he raised me, how he filled me with his Holy Ghost, how he healed me to the uttermost. The songwriter says, when I think about the Lord, how he picked me up and turned me around, how he set my feet on solid ground. If you know it, it says, it makes me want to shout, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. When I think about what the Lord has done, when I think about who he really is, when the Holy Spirit reminds me of the reality of the breath that I have is his, the heart that's beating is his, the Savior that was slaughtered was for me, then I begin to break off into doxology. Even if I'm driving in my car, even if I'm in my shower, even if I'm hanging out with my boys, doxology, Paul, breaks off into doxology. And so, a few verses earlier in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 19, Paul prays for the church before this doxology. It's a prayer. And he prays mainly three things. He prays for spiritual strength. He prays for a deeper experience of the love of Christ for the church. And he prays for the fullness of God. And then he soars into a praise break, y'all, in verse 20 and 21. Read it with me. Ephesians 3, 20 and 21, he says, verse 20, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. So let's just zoom in on this first section of verse 20. And over the next few weeks, with God's help, we'll worshipfully work our way through two verses. So the Spirit is saying to us through the pen of Paul this morning, verse 20, just those first 18 or so words. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think. Wow, without even an explanation, that makes me want to shout, because nobody else can do that, what I just read. Simply because that describes nobody you know. We ought to worship God without even unpacking that verse. Now unto him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, it should cause your heart to say, who in the world can do that? Let's walk through these words. Now to him. Can somebody say him? Him. Him. Who is him? Is that what's saying in your Bible? Verse 20 says, now to him. Who is him? Well, look at the context. Somebody said God. Let's see if they're right. Look back at the last word in verse 19. Chapter 3, verse 19. What's the last word in verse 19? Somebody shout it out. God. God. Him is God. More specifically, God the Father. So Paul, if you look at the first three chapters of Ephesians, he's pointing us back to God the Father. He says, now to him who outwilled Paul on the Damascus Road in Ephesians 1:1. He says, now to him who sends grace and peace to the saints in Christ Jesus in Ephesians 1:1. Verse 2. He says, now to him who blessed us with every spiritual blessing in chapter 1, verse 3. He says, now to him who chose us before the world began in chapter 1, verse 4. He says, now to him who predestined to adopt us into his family in chapter 1, verse 5. He says, to him who works all things according to the counsel of his will in chapter 1, verse 12. He says, to him who saved us and seated us with the Holy Spirit and sealed us in chapter 1, verse 13. Paul says, now to him who gives us wisdom and revelation in chapter 1, verse 15 through 19. Paul is talking about the him who raised Christ from the dead and seated him above all in chapter 1, verse 20 through 23. Paul says, now unto him who raised every saint up from the spiritual dead in chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Paul says, now unto him who fathers a multi-ethnic family through the death of his son in chapter 2, verses 11 through 22. Paul says, now unto him who gave Paul grace to preach the gospel to the whole world in Ephesians 3, 1 through 13. And finally, Paul says, to him who is the one that I'm praying this prayer to in chapter 3, verses 14 through 19. To him now to him. Hallelujah. No wonder it's a doxology. Paul starts by talking about him. To him, God alone, be all the glory, honor, and the praise. Now to him. To him. To him. Now to him. What about him, Paul? What about him? Why you start off with all this praise, Paul? What about him? Why all this praise? Well, because, James, God is able. That's why all this praise, man. God is able. Look at verse 20. Am I making it up? It says in verse 20, it says, now to him who is able. Who is able. Watch this. Watch this. It's incredible. The word, oh my Lord. The word translated in our English Bibles here as able is actually the Greek word, listen, dunamai. So in Greek, it was written in Greek, it says, now unto him who is dunamai. Dunamai is where we get our English word dynamite. Now to him who is dynamite. That's what he's saying. This speaks of of God's great, almighty, eternally explosive power. To him who is dynamite. Paul says, that's why he gets all of my praise breaks, because God is able. Can you say God is able? He's able. He's able. He's able. He's dunamis. He's eternally explosive in his power. That's why he gets my praise. Not only is God able, look at Ephesians 3:20. Watch this. Watch this. It says, pay attention. It says, now to him who is able, I like this part, to do. What? Now to him who is able to do. God uses his explosive ability not just to say stuff, but to do stuff. It ain't like the dude that's on the court, right? The dude that's on the court with an air basketball. He ain't even got a basketball. He just on the side like, And then he'd be like, y'all better be lucky that, you know, y'all, I can dunk on all y'all. I can dunk on all y'all, but you better be happy I got my new J's on. You better be happy, though. Yeah, you saying it, but you can't do it. No, that ain't God. He can and he does. Now unto him who is able to do. Just listen to the Lord in Isaiah 46, 9 through 11. Listen to what he says. Listen to this. He says, remember the things I have done in the past. He says, for I alone am God. I am God, and there is none like me. Only I can tell you the future before it happens. Everything I plan will come to pass, for I do whatever I wish. God says, I will call a swift bird of prey from the east, a leader from a distant land to come and do my bidding. And then he says, I have said what I would do, and I will do it. Now unto him who is able to do what God promises, he performs. What God plans, he pulls it off. What God talks, he walks. What God says, he does. Every time. This is one of the things that has always set the one true God apart from the many false gods, y'all. He is able and all-powerful to promise and perform. The other gods are not. In response to the Lord defeating Pharaoh's army. Remember that? The Red Sea. In response to the Lord drowning Pharaoh's army in the Red Sea and overthrowing all of Egypt's powerless little gods, God's people broke out into a doxology in Exodus 15. They said, quote, "Your right hand, O Lord, is glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, shatters the enemy. Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods?" And the answer is nobody. Nobody's powerful like our God. Nobody is able to promise and then perform like our God. Nobody's able to plan and pull it off every time like our God. Unto this God who is able to do, the God of Ephesians 3 is all powerful. And he's able, y'all. I just came to celebrate the fact that he's able. Look, this theme is all over the Bible. This theme of God's ability is all over the Bible. I'll just give you a few snapshots. When they were threatened by King Nebuchadnezzar to be killed by fire for not bowing down to his image, these three Hebrew boys, they call them Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they proclaimed this in Daniel 3, verse 17, and I quote, "O King, our God that we serve is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace." Family, God is able to deliver you out of any situation. And then Paul praises God through another doxology in Romans 16, 25. And this is what he says, quote, "Now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ." Church, God is able to strengthen your weak, tempted soul when you come in here on Sundays and sit under the preaching of Jesus Christ. God is able. And then 2 Corinthians 9:8 testifies that, quote, "God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work." Christ follower, I came to tell you that God is able to provide for all of your needs so that you can continue to support the ministry of the gospel. And then Paul praises the Lord in Jude. No, Jude does. Jude wrote this in the book of Jude. Popular, beautiful doxology. He says, "Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling." Child of God, our Father is able to keep us from falling into hell after he has snatched us, and he will make sure that we make it safely home to see his face. God is able. He's able. God is able. So Paul praises the Lord in Ephesians 3:20 by simply saying, "Now to him who is able to do. Okay. So God is able to do. That's good. But there's so much in my life and in your life. There's so much in my heart and in your heart. But there's so much in my family and in your family. There's so much in my city and in your city. There's so much in my country and in your country. There's so much in my world and in your world that needs to be done. There's so much. That's good that he's able to do. But there's so much that needs to be done in my life and in my family and in my world. I need to know how much of it is he able to do. How much of it? Look at verse 20. "Now, to him who's able to do far more abundantly than all." All. Can you say all? He's able to do all of it. All of it. All the stuff we need in our hearts. All the stuff we need in our families. All the stuff we need in our city, all the stuff we need in our country, all the stuff we need in our marriage, all the stuff we need in our parenting, all the stuff we need in our world. God is able to do it all. Who do you know? Who do you know that can do that? Who do you know? Tell me. Meet me afterwards and tell me, who do you know that can take all of our needs up to mountaintop and say, I can do it all? You don't know anybody that can even say that. No other God has even claimed to do that. God is able to do it. Do it all. All? Are you sure, God? All? We see this throughout the word too. In Jeremiah 32, 17, Jeremiah cries, Sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you. And then later on in verse 27, God himself says, quote, I am the Lord, the God of all mankind. Is anything too hard for me? He's able to do all. In Luke chapter 1, verse 37, remember this? After the angel Gabriel announced to teenage Mary that she would conceive the Son of God, not by a human, but by the Holy Spirit, he told her this would surely happen because, quote, nothing will be impossible with God. He is able to do all. And then in Mark chapter 9, verse 23, in response to a father asking Jesus, quote, please heal my son if you can. Jesus rebuked him and said, if I can, quote, all things are possible for one who believes. He's able to do all things. Now unto him who is able to do all. But not just all. Oh, my goodness, this is too much. Not just all. Not just all. Look at that verse again. Just a few verses. Just a few words. So much power. Look at Ephesians 3:20. It doesn't just say all. It says, now to him who is able to do, watch this, far more abundantly than all we ask or think. Now, you gotta understand what's going on here. Like, the Apostle Paul is using what is called superlatives. All right, you English people that like English language and speech and all that. When Paul says, Kairos, when Paul says far more abundantly than, he's using superlatives. It's the highest expression of exaggerated language. Did you hear that? He's using the highest expression of exaggerated language. Paul is reaching for language that can't even be reached in the original Greek. If you try to put it together, it's crazy. It's kind of like God is able to do far more abundantly, overwhelmingly, overflowing, way beyond anything that we have ever used to measure anything, far beyond, exceedingly, above everything. It don't even make sense. Paul is reaching for language. He's in a bottomless ocean. And one brother just said, he'll blow your mind. That's what he's saying. If you believe him, he'll blow your mind. That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. Now, to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond anything we've ever seen before. Now's the time to stop and look you in the eye, because that's great stuff. But now, I need to ask you, do you believe that? Do your prayers show that you believe that? Does your faith, when you get tried, show that you believe that? Does your marriage show that you believe that? Does the way you interact with your schoolmates and classmates and teammates show that you believe that? Do you believe that God is able to physically heal your body and all the broken bodies around you? Do you believe that? Do you believe that God is able to free you from your addiction and all the addicts around you? Do you believe that? Do you believe that God is able to restore your broken relationships and all the broken relationships around you? Do you believe that? Do you believe that God is able to stop the violence in these East St. Louis streets? Do you believe that? Do you believe that God is able to fill this city with joy in Jesus' name? Do you believe that? God is able. God is able. I dare you to believe that. Because if you do, you become the devil's greatest threat. If you believe that, you become darkness's greatest fear. If you believe this, when you show up, demons will tremble. If you believe this, when you show up, lives will change. If you believe this, no mountain will be too high, and no valley will be too low, and no trial will be too hard, no burden will be too heavy, no anxiety will be too consuming. If you believe this, God is expanding your faith so that you can believe that he can do things, so that through your faith, he'll shock you and the city and the world. I'm not just saying this. This is the authority of the reputation of the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's been dealing with my heart. As you can see, God is able. I believe, Lord, help my unbelief. You want to know what God is doing? You know what he's striving to do? Right now. Right now. He told me to say this, so I'm going to say it. God is right now expanding our faith so that we will really believe that he is able to do what we never thought he could do. So that through us, he would accomplish what we never thought he would accomplish. Can I say that again? This is what God is doing. If you will listen, God is right now expanding your faith so that you would really believe that he is able to do what we never thought he could do, so that through us, he would accomplish what we never thought we would accomplish. I want to close by just mentioning one more thing that God is able to do. This is the greatest thing, so pay attention. What? How can you say this is the greatest thing that God is able to do? Then you say he's able to do all? Then you say he's able to do far beyond? Yeah, I did. But this is the greatest thing that he's able to do. In Matthew 19:26, The disciples, if you remember, back in the Jewish culture, they thought, man, you were the most savable person if you had some money, because that meant that God was blessing you. That's another sermon. They thought that God blessed you with a lot of money. to show his favor. And when they found out that Jesus said, actually, the more you got, the harder it is for you to get to heaven. So be very careful about accumulating things. Jesus said, the more you have, the more you will think you don't need God. And it's going to be like getting a camel through the eye of a needle. And so the disciples wondered, who can be saved? They wondered if God was able to save. Look at what Jesus said. Quote. He said, yeah, this salvation thing with man is impossible. But now with God, all things are possible with God. In other words, Jesus says, God alone saves. And if anybody gets to heaven, it's going to be a supernatural miracle of his saving power. That's his greatest power, to save sinners. To take you out of hell into heaven takes all the power of God. Is that amazing? Brothers and sisters, the greatest display of God's all possible power was on the cross. As we sang, where Jesus paid it all for hell deserving sinners like you and me. Then he rose up from the dead with all power in his hand. Greatest power is seen when Jesus Christ takes a hard heart like mine that loves sin and lust and evil and violence and threatening to kill people. And all the foolishness that I was into, when he takes a heart and makes it his, and the same God that you curse, now you bless him. That's the gospel, the greatest display of power of God. Do you believe this? Do you trust this Jesus? Will you give your life to this Jesus? Today he brought you here again to show you. He took all of his infinite power and let love serve his power so that he could save you. And if you believe in Jesus, catch this. This same all-possible power is at work in you. That's what the next part of the verse says. I'm excited about next week because it's amazing what God is preparing to do, because all this power is now in you. Let's stand up and just worship the Lord. Let's stand up as we respond to him. Let's stand up. Wow. Wow. Thank you, Lord.